great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declare the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Today we're going to have a baptism. Be there around 1 o'clock, So we can start somewhere between 1:30 and 1, somewhere in there. This baptism is a little different. I've baptized quite a few people in different places, even in the River Jordan. Can you imagine? I baptized people in the River Jordan. But for some reason, I was under severe attack for the last 2 weeks. So I am seeking out the Lord. For those of you who are going to get baptized, you better take it to heart. God is going to move. He's going to show you things. Because Satan does not like at all what we're doing. And he's tried to shut me down, but of course, like I always do, I place one foot ahead of the other, and I keep walking, and that's it. You know, I grew up in the 60s, and that's what you sometimes had to do to survive. So God trained me. And the message I'm going to have is strictly salvation. I'm not going to talk about you living a pleasing life for God, but I want you to remember, it is very important to God that you live a pleasing life to Him. If you don't, you will suffer the consequences. It's as simple as that. You will reap what you sow. You will not lose your salvation, but you can even lose your life. The Bible teaches us, those who take the communion of God unworthily, they bring damnation to themselves because they do not operate righteously. So look at these scriptures. And we need to understand God means business. We're heading into an incredible time where God is going to move beyond our comprehension. We've been praying for good weather and asking God that we're going to have nice weather. He came up good so far. Yesterday, it was awesome. How many of you enjoyed the barbecue? For those of you who aren't there, it's your loss. That's all I can say. We all had a good time. And the barbecue was awesome. It was good. So I want to teach on salvation today. Pay close attention. Those of you listening over the internet, you may have never heard a message like that. So pay close attention. God wants to set the believer free. Why do I say He wants to set the believer free? Because many people who become born again, many, many churches preach like this. Salvation is for free. But once you have salvation, you have to start paying rent. Does that make sense? Once you have salvation, you have to start paying rent. That's not what the Bible teaches. Salvation is for free. It comes without cost. It was paid for by the Son of the Living God. And He does not back up on His word. He keeps it. He made a covenant with Himself, and that covenant will not be broken. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, and that's going to stay for the rest of eternity. So hang on to that. Don't allow Satan to discourage you in any way. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the grace of God. I ask that You will open our hearts to the voice of the Word of God so that we can understand and be free from condemnation and from anything that devil is trying to throw at us. We thank You for Your grace, and we ask You to anoint this message. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'll get to the nitty-gritty right from the start. When you become born again by the Spirit of God, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things become new. And for those of you who have accepted that, those of you who have said, I want this for myself, the Bible has a command. You need to get baptized to show the world and to show Satan that you mean business with this salvation. So if there's anybody here that hasn't been baptized, or you feel you weren't ready when you were baptized, you hadn't really accepted Jesus, well, today is the day when you can step into the water. It may be a little frigid, but we got a hot tub there where you can go in afterwards. Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. So God loves us. And that's the message I'm trying to bring across by preaching this message. Here is what Paul says. I'm going to be reading out of the Living Translation because it explains it so clearly. So the trouble is not the law, for it is spiritual and good. How many of us read the law, and when we see it, we know it is the perfection of God? But the problem with the law is this: if you break one law, you broke them all for the rest of eternity. There is no escape. You are caught in a trap. You're dead in trespasses and sin, and you need a Savior. And once you're past this innocent age, you very quickly get caught in that trap. And if you do not find that Savior, you're going to spend your rest of eternity separated from God. So God wants us to understand that. The law is good, but we need to escape the law somehow. We need to escape that death grip. And God will show us today how to do it. For it says, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human. Oh, what a revelation. A slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, and any of us who live one day on this earth will be able to say that I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Once you become born again, you wonder, what on earth is wrong with me? Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep doing that? That's because of something that's in you. I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And I know of people who are into pornography. They hate it with a passion, but they do not have the power to get out. Why? It is because they have forgotten to call upon God. They have forgotten that the Word of God teaches us we need to put up a fight. If we don't put up a fight, there is no help. You take one step and God will take 10 for you. It says, Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. At least in my heart, I know that I'm doing wrong. And right away, that gives us connection with God. We agree with God that we're doing wrong. So I'm not the one doing wrong. Now that's where the tire hits the road here. So I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I know there is nothing good living in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. And I'm not talking about everyday life. I'm talking about keeping the law perfectly. I would like to keep the law perfectly, but I can't. But yeah, we have to remember, if we don't keep the law perfectly, we are doomed. One mistake, you're out. It's not three strikes, you're out. It's one strike, you're out. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. How that works, I don't quite understand, but that's what the Bible teaches. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. And we all experience that. We would love to do good all the time, but we find out we fail. We do wrong here, we misspeak there, we have the wrong attitude there, we blow up here, we gossip there. We don't like doing these things, but somehow, some way, Satan is there to egg us on, and far too often we succumb to what he suggests. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still with me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Here's the answer. Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see, now it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am the slave to sin. So this settles it. Even if we want to do right, we understand that we're doing wrong. We may not live wrong all the time. We may even live good lives. But if we miss it once, it's out for keeps. So we need an antidote. We need somebody to rescue us from this life of sin. And the Bible teaches us, thank God it has been done through Jesus Christ, my champion. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. As far as keeping the law, I was perfect. He kept the law. But he said, I count it all as dung that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So he understood himself. And he understood his Savior. And he said, oh boy, who's going to save me from this awful sin? Thank God it was done through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, in verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, are you in the flesh or are you in the Spirit? I will ask a simple question. Are you born again or aren't you? That's what it all boils down to. Those who are in the flesh, they're not born again. Those who are in the Spirit, they got that Spirit within them. And those who have that Spirit within them, there is therefore now no condemnation. God does not condemn you. This almost looks like a fairy tale, but that's what the Bible teaches. You are not under condemnation, even though you sin. Even though you sin, remember, God enjoys a person that lives a godly life. There's consequences if you don't live a godly life. But on the other hand, if you do sin, he does not account it to you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Awesome scriptures. Just study them. Find out who you are in Christ. And you will begin to wonder about this great God. How wonderful is he anyway? How good is he anyway? He's always good. He's always has been good. But for this to penetrate our minds, it takes time because we need to study the word for it to come there. But as you grow older, you begin to see it more and more clear how beautiful this God is. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, you know, the flesh cannot keep the law. God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and listen to this, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What does this scripture mean? Whatever sin you have in you, whatever sin you do, Jesus condemned it. It's dead. It has no power over you whatsoever as far as your salvation is concerned. God, Jesus, came in the flesh so he would be qualified to condemn the sin that takes us down. Jesus condemned the sin that takes us down. I'll put it to you like this. There's a rope around my neck and I'm hanging from a tree and the life is being sucked out of me. And guess who comes along and cuts that rope? It's Jesus. He saves me by condemning the rope that is suffocating me, by cutting it off. It has no more power over me. I'm free in Christ, not because of how good I was, but because how good Jesus was. There is now no condemnation, none whatsoever, to them that are in Christ Jesus. And if that spells your name, God tells us, just go get baptized and show the world that you mean business with this God. That's the first step in the right direction. Hallelujah. God is good. God is great. Now in Romans chapter 8 in verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. If so be the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of God, Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have this Jesus, you don't belong to God. It's as simple as that. When I go on YouTube and I see them arguing over what is sin and over what is not sin, can Christians live together before they get married? Can Christians be homosexuals? Can Christians drink? Can Christians do that? I'll ask them a simple question. Do you belong to God or don't you? That's the question. Never mind what you can do or what you can't do. If you belong to God, God will work on your heart on what you're allowed to do or not. The other day I was talking to a lady and we were bickering back and forth, and I told that lady this simple little question. Listen, as soon as you became a Christian, as soon as you accepted Jesus Christ, you're not my worry anymore. You're God's problem. How is that? Isn't that freeing? You're not my problem. You're God's problem. If you live this lifestyle that is not pleasing to him, he doesn't need me to hit you over the head. Yes, I can warn you, but if you don't listen to him, let me tell you, his fist can be pretty powerful, and I felt it a few times in my life. God is your judge. God is the one that's going to lead you in your life, and you need to listen to him. The Bible teaches us in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him. That means he has made you alive in him. He has forgiven you what? All trespasses, every little sin that you ever commit or will ever commit. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us. He took them out of the way and nailed them to the cross. I love this. The law that was written against us, the law that said, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. He took it and he nailed it to the cross. Now it doesn't apply to me anymore as far as my salvation is concerned. Yes, give God a good hand. Hallelujah. He's a good God. And guess what? It's not there anymore. So where there is no law, there is no sin. How on earth can people miss that? Still, you listen to preachers. They condemn you to hell on this hand and put you into heaven on this hand. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's free, it's free. But once you're in their church, you have to start paying rent. And I'm not talking about tithing. I'm talking about You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to wear suspenders or else you're not going to go up in the rapture, one guy once told me. I told him, I think you know better than that. So God is good. Study these scriptures for yourself. Let them sink into your heart so that you can become free from the condemnation that Satan whispers in your ears. It's not you that thinks these thoughts. It's Satan that puts them there, that's trying to condemn you. I know his tricks already. I'm 70 years old, and I've lived a little bit, and I've had the experience of living to other people. And Satan is very, very sly. He'll come in from some place where you don't expect, and before you know it, he has you on your knees crying out to God, which is often a good thing. But God loves us. He wants us to get up and start all over again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Can you wrap that around your head? The sting of death is sin. But what gives sin strength? The law. The law says you should not sin. What happened to the law? It was taken out of the way. No more sting, no more death, just eternal joy and peace. All because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. We need to encourage one another in that. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, so that we can encourage one another. And what is the government trying to do? You're not going to go to church. You're going to wear a mask so you can't talk to one another. Well, I'm not going to give them the sign I'd like to give them, but we all can imagine. God wants us together in his name all the time and not forsake it, especially as you see the day approaching. Now in Romans chapter 8, in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I love this one. It is God that justified, the supreme ruler of the universe, justified me through the blood of Jesus. So who can charge me with anybody? No lawyer on this earth, no judge on this earth, no devil in hell, not Satan, not even I myself. I cannot condemn myself because it's God that justified me. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's what he's doing. He's our lawyer up there. This guy belongs to me. Satan is not touching him. I don't care what he did. He belongs to me and is going to stay mine forever. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. That's not only conquerors, more than conquerors. When Joshua went into the land of Canaan to kill off the giants, he told the moon and the sun and the stars to stand still. And by the time the battle was over, God, the Bible teaches us that God killed more of the enemy than Joshua did. How did he do it? He destroyed them. Simply, that's it. So this is our God fighting for us. There's no need to be afraid. God will keep us. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded, I love the Apostle Paul, I am persuaded. Are we persuaded? Far too many Christians are not persuaded. They're swaying back and forth. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I good enough? Am I not good enough? And then they go into self-condemnation and they go into all sorts of things that keeps them from reaching out and doing the will of God. They're hampered by Satan because of what Satan tells them. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, that's the demonic realm, nor powers, nor things present, listen to this, nor things to come. Oh, maybe down the road I'll walk away from Christ. Maybe I'll become such a sinner that I'll lose my salvation. No. Jesus loves us. He keeps us in things that are to come. Neither height nor death nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wrap that around your minds. Put it in your hearts. Jesus loves us with a passion that we cannot even understand. He created us to love him, to worship him, and to uplift him. And he does the same thing and more for us. We are his children. Any parent here who loves his child, would he not give his life for that child? Well, does not he want his child to do the best, to do good? Think of God. He looks at us that way and much, much more. But let me tell you one thing. When it comes to a natural mother, you look at the animal kingdom. If anything tries to attack the young, a mother will give her life. Bears, dogs, wolves, whatever you name, they will give their lives for their young. Humans have become so depraved that they sacrifice their young. But those who love God, they will sacrifice their life for their young. Now look at how God loves us. Look at what he'll do with us. Nothing on this earth or in eternity will be able to harm us. We are in his hands, and Satan cannot do anything about it. And then one more scripture that I'll close out with in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15. Look at it closely. Study to show yourself. Study to show yourself. You're approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed of himself, rightly dividing the word of truth. Divide the word of truth. Look at scripture. Find out what Jesus does for you, how he loves you. Study in the word to show yourself how Jesus loves you. This is a scripture that everyone should study. And everyone should know that we need to understand to show ourselves how much this God loves us. And let me tell you, the Apostle Paul puts the icing on the cake when he says, I am persuaded that he that has begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And this is what I can assuredly say for those of you who are born again, that Jesus will finish that work in you. You do not need to be afraid of Satan. He may bring you down. He may throw you down. He may accuse you. But take it from the word of God. You need not to be afraid of Satan. God is your protection, and he will surely protect you for the rest of eternity. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
I've never traveled far around the world. I've never seen the many thrills and sights unfurl. But I have taken the journey of journeys for me. Up Calvary's mountain, there my Savior to see. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the witness of his word. Each day I
just to know that the Savior is mine. I've walked the Calvary Road where Jesus trod. I saw him hanging there, the Son of God. With tear-stained eyes I knelt to pray, Jesus, hear my plea. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm glad I've been to Calvary. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the witness of his word. Each day at Calvary, what a thrill of love divine, just to know that the Savior is mine. Just to think, just to feel, just to know.